Okay. So as I was about to say, that Rocky music was not a coincidence. For those of you who attended last year's conference, we had a very lively debate that involved nothing less than bloodshed. And I expect that this panel today will be a fight to the finish. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this over to our moderator, Mike Dellman.
Thanks, Bill. Good afternoon, everybody. I have the pleasure of moderating this esteemed panel today where we're going to talk about whether a supply chain should be one group or two for clinical and commercial. As we were doing the prep for this, it became very clear that we had two very, very divergent camps on points of view. So we shamelessly stole the idea of a debate from the group last year regarding ERP, and really would like this to provide both points of view as much as we possibly can. Again, for those, I should have introduced myself first. I'm Mike Dellman. I'm the Senior Director of Supply Chain at Avidity Biosciences, and I'm also one of the co-founders of CMD Clinical Supply, a consulting firm that works in this space. The reason I mentioned that, very much to Bill's earlier point, I've now been acquired more than five times, and I have never done a reconciliation for any of those acquisitions, so I'm able to keep that track record going. I'm pretty excited about that. So what we're going to do is we're going to have our panelists introduce themselves, then each panelist will have a moment to state their position, whether they feel it should be one or two different groups, and then we'll have a period of rebuttal, and then we'll have a little bit of a period of time after that where people can ask the panelists questions and try to get them to defend their point of view. So without further ado, I'd like the panelists to introduce. Allez-vous, Monsieur Jacques.
Merci. So Alan Jacques, I'm with Kinaxis. Before that, Baxter, Wyeth, Pfizer, Leo Pharma, and all on the commercial supply chain side, really got to dabble on the clinical side when I was with Leo, so.
Thank you, Charles.
Hi, I'm Charles Enriquez. I'm with Allogene Therapeutics. I was a late addition due to my resounding win at last year's debate with some folks here. I was added to the team. At Allogene, I do lead our ops tech systems. And someone else asked what else I do, and I said basically anything else in supply chain that needs an extra hand.
So I recruited Charles at lunch, so this worked out perfect. He's on my team. All right, so I'm Matt Donnelly. Good to meet everybody. So I've been in the industry about 20 years, had various leadership roles in operational excellence and clinical supply chain and commercial supply chain, and currently leading supply chain at Arcus Biosciences. We're a late stage clinical company focusing on oncology with, I'd say, you know, relatively standard large, you know, monoclonal antibody type products and also oral solid dosage small molecule products.
Mike? I'm Mike Rigoni. I'm the heavyweight contender. ready to rumble. Can we do that? Let's get ready to rumble.
Marvelous. That's the attitude. Right on. Quick show of hands. Of those sponsor companies out there, how many are organized as one supply chain group for both clinical and commercial? One. Is there like more than one person at your organization? How many are organized in two? Two separate groups. Okay, a little bit more. Both groups. Did you start that way or did you change to that structure? Show of hands on who changed over time. Interesting, only a couple. Let's get started. I can't do the let's get ready to rumble. It just sounds silly. So we'll start with let's the sparks fly. Mike, I'll throw your way first. Let's go.
Okay. So I'm in the one team camp. I think it comes down to one thing, it's leadership. If you have the right leader, that leader can run the entire end-to-end supply chain organization. I personally think about the team. I think about the people that are on the team and the opportunities that we can provide. I think about how we want to really grow and develop high-performing teams that are capable of having experience in working across the end-to-end supply chain and understanding both the clinical side and the commercial side of the world. I think about people that are doing clinical, and they're doing it for one reason, to get to commercial. So then to say, oh, by the way, we're going to turn over to somebody else when it comes to commercial can be a little bit disheartening for some folks. So from my perspective, I think there's opportunities of how you can grow people, how you can cross-train, how you can build a high-performing team if you keep it one team across the end-to-end for commercial and clinical.
You must be living in fantasy land. Were you not listening this morning? Like, clinical and commercial are totally different. No. So I had responsibility for both at my last company, and so, you know, I thought a lot about this, and I mean, definitely can see both sides of it. But I think what I had high hopes going into that was exactly what Mike just said, was like, oh, this is going to be great. Clinical can learn commercial can learn, you know, clinical, and they can share resources. We can have great sharing of best practices. We can learn from each other. I mean, the reality is once you get into the day-to-day, people are so focused on their clinical, talking to the ClinOps people. Demand planning is so different than you're on the commercial side, talking to the commercial organization. It's like, it was night and day, and none of what I'd hoped would happen really ever happened, right? So I think two made a lot of sense. And when I was the leader of it all, I still essentially had two departments under me, right? I had a clinical department and I had a commercial department, and they kind of, you know, were focused in their areas because the skill sets were different and they had a lot of different demanding customers, and they had to kind of do things differently. If you think about how you present the data, a commercial S&OP and how you run that and the type of things you talk about are very different than a clinical S&OP meeting in which you're going to talk about and how you present the data. One's talking about the cost of my inventory. Am I going to be able to get additional revenue? Are you going to plan for my upside? It's all dollars and cents. The other one, you're talking about patients and not missing a dose and hitting FPI. And it's just, yeah, it's very different. So I'm in the two camps.
Yeah, so I would add to that, I'm also for two camps. I spent about 15 years at Genentech Commercial Supply Chain, 5 years now at Allogene Therapeutics. We are a clinical stage company, so we do not have a commercial supply chain. But despite that, and building on what Matt's described here, is that the processes are different, right? Do you really want someone having to work in an IND and work in a BLA and work with regulatory approval to get your product approved globally and understand all of that? Of course, not one person can do all of that for all your product launches you'll have coming, for all what the future holds. So the skill differences are very much apparent there, and you need the right people for the right job, and that's why I think you need two separate groups.
I'm in the one group camp because Mike's bigger than Matt and Charles. But I'm biased because I've been on the commercial side most of my career, and I guess my belief is that in clinical, there needs to be supply chain discipline. It is very different than commercial, but there is overlap. And I believe that, you know, a supply chain professional or someone coming from a group that has experience in other areas of supply chain can bring some of that to the clinical world and deal with some of the issues we've been talking about today, like waste and like where to hold inventory and how to plan manufacturing operations. And many times in some companies, you know, you're competing with commercial capacity for your clinical product. So it could be drug substance, it could be drug product, whatever. And so having, at least organizationally, you know, you can communicate on that and figure out what's best. And at the end of the day, someone has to make the call who's going to get priority in manufacturing. It could also be external manufacturing that you're competing for capacity with. And I think also in this world of constrained resources, you know, it's nice to have a group where you could move stuff around if you need to. So, you know, and I think it's also great training opportunities to take someone from commercial and put them on the clinical side, because when I did that, you know, it was like, holy shit, you know, it was a very different world with very different dynamics, but I was also responsible for the commercial launch of that product. So I got a lot of insight on, you know, what those drivers were and, you know, how to make that transition as smooth as possible.
All good.
And so I don't know why anyone in their right mind would want to.
on that note, Alan, why don't you begin the rebuttal and please include as part of your rebuttal.
What am I rebutting?
The two camps. Include how the different KPIs, which are typically very different for clinical and commercial, how would you reconcile that?
Well, I wouldn't, because they... I mean, there are some KPIs that are very common. So I've always been a big believer in cycle time and, you know, lead time and lead time variability and understanding that, especially through your manufacturing operations. So I think you have to, you know, do that on the clinical side also, so you understand what your constraints are, what your flexibility is. But other KPIs, I mean, on time in full, you know, is important for patients, but we measure it differently, you know, at the patient level on clinical than we would on the commercial side. Forecast accuracy is a totally different animal. And even forecasting, you know, I can't use my statistical tools and stuff like that. So I think the KPIs do need to be very different, but I think some, such as inventory and, you know, inventory aging and, you know, you can't use the same approaches you would use for a commercial, but you have to do better than what we're doing now, and you have to have some kind of creativity on how can I best position my inventory to, you know, to not have the kind of issues that we've talked about today during the day.
Yeah, so I think you did a good job describing where there are differences and therefore why you need two different supply chain departments there.
I was going to say that too.
Who invited you?
and along those lines, I think the challenge is, right, is one of the sides you really want focused on commercial because that's where revenue is coming in. And when we talk about if we have to make trade-offs, if we don't have revenue, we don't have clinical supply either. And so I want a group that's focused to make sure that we're driving and hitting our sales and our revenue and making sure the product's there. Not to say clinical's not important, but that's why I need also a clinical group to focus on what's important for clinical. And I want those two groups to just concentrate on those objectives and those goals to make it happen. Sure, we can collaborate, but we still should be two separate groups.
I think it's bullshit.
With all due respect.
Actually, I think the complexity of the product dictates how we organize our teams. I think at the end of the day, there when you have two separate departments, you're creating a silo, two different silos. And I think we've been talking through this entire conference about how do you break down silos. So,
I just said you should collaborate. I didn't say you should stay in your silo.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's key, right? Can you collaborate, or do you have to force it with org structure, right? I think that's
correct.
The key, right? In some cases, you got to force it with org structure. Some cases, you don't, and that has to do with the maturity of the people and the company and the leaders and all that. But yeah, the KPIs can be similar in some cases. They're different in some cases. I think the biggest difference in my mind is the demand stream, right? How you get the demand, who you get it from, what, how it comes in, you know, what's important about it, who are the groups you talk to about it. And that to me is the most important thing, right? And if you get the demand right, I mean, the rest of it flows through more smoothly. So how do you get the demand right? And again, do you force it by structure? You know, does clinical supply chain sit within clinical development as a partner to clinical operations, or are they in tech ops, more closer to commercial supply chain? I think that's the debate, right?
Correct.
And we talked about that, I think, in a different session this morning, but I think there's a lot of benefit of at least the front ends being very different and being close to where they get the demand signal.
So before you really cut me off and wouldn't let me finish my thought, I'm gonna make you an offer you can refuse. How about that? I think the product dictates whether you need to have a separate group of people that run that product or not. If you're talking one SKU, one country, and it's relatively simple, I think you can get away with having the person that did clinical also do the launch for commercial. When you get to doing multiple countries in different parts of the world, and maybe it's even better to have people in other countries doing some of this, then I think you can expand your team and you can have people focusing on what's necessary. What I don't want to do is to bring on a person and they are doing commercial and they're spending 20% of their time doing it, and they are being underutilized. I wanted to utilize the people to the fullest. So I had a team of clinical and commercial at BioMarin, and the clinical team was responsible for supply through all the phases of clinical and doing the U.S. launch. And then when we did launching in the EU, we had a team that was in Ireland, and they are responsible for taking on the EU countries. So maybe it's a little bit of a compromise, however you want to see it. But again, I think it's based upon what the need of the products are.
Mike, you mentioned something earlier about leadership, and I think that it couldn't possibly be more true. As a leader of a group where all of this, both clinical and commercial, falls under that umbrella, who owns the PPQ batches? How do you reconcile that?
How do I reconcile PPQ?
Both teams desperately want that drug.
Yes, they do.
How do you handle that?
So when we do our planning, we have a couple of drugs that are in phase 2 right now, and we're already planning for PPQ, and we are already looking at what is the PPQ batches we want to use for phase 3 versus what do we want to use for commercial, what's the shelf life going to be for that drug, what's the different commercial forecast that we're looking for, and again, it's on a product-by-product basis. We have a couple products where we know that we're going to need to use PPQ batches for the commercial, and that's what goes into our plan and our strategy, and we align that up with the CMC level. But we're also very clear that we want to protect that commercial drug. We don't want to have that commercial drug expire before we're able to sell it, right? So there's a lot of planning and scenarios that go into figuring that out.
Okay. Yeah, and who better to do that than a commercial supply chain group whose focus is on
Excuse me?
Quick show of hands here. How many people have 100% effective and 100% accurate forecasts? You are lying.
I think he's living in the fantasy land.
Yeah, over there. So you've got your allocation. You figured out which ones are going to clinical, which ones are going to commercial. Excellent. You know those forecasts are bullshit. How are you? When the push and pull begins, who is going to win in that organization where it's under the umbrella of one group, one leader?
Why don't you take this, Matt?
No.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be commercial.
Sure.
I mean, that's the reality. But it depends, just like Mike said. I mean, I know you don't want me to say it depends, but yeah, it depends, right? I mean, most likely, if you're launching a rare disease drug that's got a small volume, then you're probably, but you still got to run 3 batches to satisfy your validation, mm-hmm. then you're going to have stuff that's going to need to go to commercial, you're going to have stuff that needs to go to clinical. And you're going to have to break it up as best you can. And if it's all under one leader, I actually think it's going to be easier because that leader is going to be able to make that decision and break it up between the two groups. If it's two different functions and they're going to fight over it, you know, that's going to be a bit harder, I think. But
and if we were smart in the clinical world and we figured out how to scale it properly, so we minimize that, and then we wouldn't mitigate that, right?
I think the waste people this morning were talking about like overproducing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you had a good example where you got stuck with a batch size from another company.
Yeah. Sometimes when you start your product, and if it's acquired, the process that comes with that product is not ideal. It may be too small, or it may be entirely too big. And in the case where it's too big, it's extremely difficult to change your process, you know, in the middle of a trial, especially in the cell and gene therapy space, where any slight change could result in an INDA, in the best scenario, and an IND in the worst case scenario. And so you have to be cognizant of that, and then how do you manage through that? I think that's a real challenge. I think that's where there is a handoff between clinical and commercial in order to manage that, because in some cases you need to plan for the clinical scale, but you have to be prepared for the commercial scale. And so where do you strike that balance between the two of those? I've managed products where we had over 1 million vials annually produced, to now we have a product that's let's say 100 doses in a batch. So very different scale, and you have to take those things into consideration in the planning.
Mm-hmm. Charles, if you are split into one group rather than two groups, would that handoff not be easier?
Well, sometimes it's a factor of time and resources to be able to do that. And sometimes in the commercial team, you have to take what's given to you, and then you have to plan to how you're going to scale that up. And I think that's where you get into additional facilities that are built for commercial scale versus the clinical. And with that in mind, that's where, you know, if you're sharing capacity, you have to make trade-offs with the facility there. If you're at a scale where it's a commercial scale and a clinical scale, you likely have separate facilities for those. They're handled separately, different leadership there, different folks you're interacting with. And at that point in the scale, you really need two different organizations, because your collaboration is with very different parts of the business on the clinical side versus the commercial side.
So in my mind, the commercial side, whether that be external manufacturing or internal manufacturing or commercial supply chain, needs to be, I mean, when you go into phase three production, you need to know that manufacturing site can scale up to commercial, because you don't want to be doing a tech transfer. You know, you want to go right out of the end of your clinical trial into your PPQs, and that becomes your first commercial material. You may use some of it for clinical, but that's the first material you can use commercially. And so you have to negotiate your contracts with that partner from the get-go. You need to be sure that they can scale. Because tech transfer, I mean, we all know that's, you know, kind of the worst world to be in. And when I was with Leo, that was a really good situation. We weren't one group. but we acted as one group, and they would pull us in. They would even pull us into phase two decisions on where to manufacture. And so we would find a partner. We might have started out in single use technology, but we knew that partner had so much experience scaling to stainless steel that, you know, if we had the volumes that needed that, you know, they had done so many tech transfers that they could do it. And, you know, we knew we could scale, and if the study failed, it failed, but at least if it succeeded, we knew that we weren't gonna have to, you know, make changes late in the game.
Sure. Yeah, one thing that I've noticed is, you know, we're talking about this, but how many manufacturing organizations have decide to split up into two groups within a company? Not that much. Regulatory? No, not really. Process development? Nope, they're the same folks.
So they're smarter than supply chain.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Watch your audience. Quality.
I mean, supply chain, we manage disruption, right? That's our primary responsibility, you know. So, but, you know, there's also, you know, you mentioned about the type of people you work with. Yes, you're gonna work with different manufacturing sites. But, you know, again, we should also be doing this in concert with regarding the larger organization. How's the larger organization adapting to that to make sure that whatever we're deciding within the supply chain, it fits with how we're going to work as part of the larger group?
Charles, Mr. Two Team. Where does Matt. EAP belong in two separate teams?
Sorry, repeat
expanded
the question.
Expanded access. Where does expanded access programs belong? Does it belong in the commercial team? Does it belong in clinical team, or would this be transitioned as well, in your mind?
Wow, I hadn't expected that question.
You hadn't expected to come up on stage.
Well, I think it depends on where, you know, if that expanded access is within a current commercial product. Maybe you're expanding the indications or the markets or eligibility of that. I think certainly that would fall within commercial's responsibility. Now, I've also had cases where there's compassionate use needs for products in clinical use. Clearly, that falls within the clinical side of the world. And that's, you know, I think it's both supply chain side's responsibility to make sure we can fulfill those needs, regardless of it being compassionate use, obviously following regulatory requirements. And legal issues there, but also in expanding the access for the drug and making sure that it's available for everyone who can have it.
I didn't expect that answer, but it's really good.
I told you it was solid.
Any questions? Any comments?
Okay, hey, Bill, can you hand the phone, the microphone to someone?
I'm talking about on this one versus two camp. Please.
So I want to start with saying that I am the two-team person. Yes. So this question is for Mike. I know we've spoken a lot about being one team with respect to demand planning and with respect to manufacturing. But if you think about it, and I'm only saying it because I've worked in both clinical and commercial with starting the commercial supply chain from scratch to launch, there are different aspects of it.
Yep.
And then also you have to do logistics strategy, right? Commercial is all about your market access and your downstream channel strategy. You don't have that here. It's more about getting people to sites, right? It's two very different ways to play. So in my mind, how do you, I understand where I've done, where once the market goes commercial and the clinical starts using commercial commercial suppliers, you do have the planning under commercial, so that you plan for commercial and clinical, and then you
So logistics, I think you talked about logistics, that's one thing, right? I have a person that runs logistics globally for the company I work for, and he handles everything. I'm not going to have him handle a drug substance to a drug product shipment differently than a commercial, right? There's similarities along with that. So, you know, when I look at it, I break down the work and say, what is different? And you pointed out a lot of great differences there. And does that require a unique skill set that we don't currently have in that team? If that does require a skill set that's in the team, then we should be creating a position that's focused on that, and that we know that we can create a full-time position that utilizes those different, you know, the needs that we have specifically for commercial versus clinical, then I think that makes sense. Does it need to be under two different umbrellas? I think that depends upon the quality of the leadership, right? If the leader is capable of being able to lead both teams and being able to help the people on the clinical and the commercial grow and learn and mature, then I think that's okay. If you need to have one leader that's just focused on clinical because you have 50 different clinical trials and you have 12 different products in your pipeline and you already have six different drugs that are in commercial, that's a different thing, right? So to me, it's not a one
over
size
the
fits all.
Team camp. It's
I was forced to do this.
We will. Yeah.
Distribution, I did, yeah. Distribution is a totally different thing.
Yeah,
order
depends,
to cash,
yeah, if you're
totally different.
Yeah, finished goods versus DSDP, right?
Correct. Correct, but again, does your company have one SKU, one country that you're doing commercial with, or do you have a plethora, right? So it also depends upon what part of your business is making up clinical versus commercial. And the higher that, you know, as you go from 100% clinical and then you start shifting to commercial, then you would expect your organization is going to adapt to that.
So I just want to say, Charles, we have finally come to the same side of the fence. So, I mean, I think ultimately you guys have said it. It's about a trade-off of problems. And I have seen it in organizations where say, hey, we need one leader to make those two people work together better. But as a leader, Mike, how are you going to prioritize the problems of a clinical supply chain and getting clinical development to actually nail down a plan when you're off trying to make revenue with the commercial side of the organization and getting a sales force organized and marketing organized? You can't be in two camps at once and advocate for your people effectively. Or can you?
I think you can. I think if you have the right people in place in the right roles and you have a strong team to begin with, I think you can. because I would expect that the people on my team are able to handle 80 to 90% of the problems, and then the things that, that cannot be agreed upon at that level that need to be escalated, then need to be escalated to a higher level.
So I was in that exact same challenge or position, right? Because I had both in my previous company, and it started out as not being such a big issue, but then once we had multiple products in multiple countries, and then it was like, okay, 80% of my time is being spent on commercial and 20% on clinical, it starts to pull you in a lot of different ways, and it's hard. It is. And, you know, when I left, they split it in two, and there's the answer. So we're done. But no, I mean, it's tough. And I think the only way you can do it is you have to have had experience in both, and you have to be able to understand sort of the challenges of both, and then do your best to make both those different, very different type of customers happy, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so. And I think what we do agree here is it depends a bit on the scale. Obviously, if you have products only in clinical trials, you don't need a commercial supply chain team. And you may not need that, to be in all honesty, with one product or two products or even two markets. But at some point, there is a need where you've got 130 countries products being approved in. You've got a million units of product going around. You've got different demand coming from these countries, et cetera. It's very hard to have one leader, as Matt described, trying to drive both organizations.
That was the last question, right, Mike?
Darn it!
Melissa Majewski from Genentech. I am mostly looking on the commercial side. They know this. And I actually am going to lean with who's on team one team, Matt? Mike. All right, I'm leaning towards one team. Because the question is supply chain departments. If we're talking about, is it two different supply chains or data sets, my answer might be different. But so with that in consideration, my question for you guys is, what would a hybrid approach look for you, where you would say these have to be separate, but these maybe are combined?
I think we talked about one of them, right? I think logistics is an obvious one that can be combined up to a point, right? So DS and DP, moving that around the world, is fairly similar between clinical and commercial. Obviously, if you have to start evaluating things, then valuations, which you're gonna talk about next, I think, is gonna be different. But when you get to the finished good level, it's drastically different, right?
Correct.
And so those are different skill sets, I think. Demand planning, I think, is pretty different between the two. It's gotta stay separate. Supply planning, if you're sharing assets, it can be very similar, and those could be combined, I think. But it depends, right? If you're truly sharing assets, same company, internal, external site is producing the same products that are going to be used both for clinical and commercial, then why not share that supply planning? I mean, again, if you're sharing one system and similar process and everything, then it makes a lot of sense.
As we're preparing for this, we talk about this, we're starting our S&OP process. We have one more question. I'm not going to forget you. Don't worry. We're starting our S&OP process, and I have a commercial person that's leading that initiative. And when he was going down the list of KPIs, he talked about clinical forecast accuracy. And he said, no less than 90%. And we laughed ourselves silly. Yeah, they're a little different.
Hello. So I have one thing I wanted to say that I didn't hear when we talked about different supply chains and the complexity was also the life cycle of the drug. Because I think that has a lot to do with how you're managing, you know, changes in a commercial supply chain. But my question is for the camp that thinks it should be two departments, when do you think the right time for the commercial supply chain person to start getting involved would be? Is it at the time that you launch? Is it after launch? Or would you involve them well before we're actually designing part of the supply chain, scale and location and things like that?
Yeah, maybe I'll start this conversation. Mm-hmm. You gentlemen can carry on. I think if you wait until the product is commercialized, you're way too late. It certainly should be during the phase three, during the pivotal trial, ideally at the beginning of the phase three. That's been my experience.
Yeah, I would add it should come up when the long-range plan, so whether that's, you know, 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, it depends on what your long-range plan is at the company, but that's where there needs to be a seat at that table to understand that and to start thinking about scale, because often you, as everyone here knows, you generally can't, you know, increase scale 10x in a year. It's a multi-year effort, and it's a lot of money to do so. So being involved in having a long-range strategy, even as a startup company, I think is really important so that people are thinking about those needs and the capacities of the future.
Yeah, I agree. Like phase two-ish, when you're getting ready, you're talking about planning PPQ batches and all that. I mean, the commercial person should be involved at that time.
Yeah, we even look at it up front when we're deciding what new indication we want to get into.
Yeah.
And we're looking at the what's a potential market for that, yeah, and what do we need to do as a company to be a standard of care. Because we don't want to be picking one CMO for phase one and then picking another one for phase two and another one for phase three. That's a lot of money and time and waste. We want to understand that life cycle, to Lorena's point, so we can plan out our strategy combined with manufacturing as soon as possible.
Your commercial strategy has to be aligned with your clinical strategy, too. If you're chasing an indication that's going to be 1/50th of the market, that's just not going to work. You're going to end up having phase four studies for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So to add on to what Charles was saying, I mean, most of us have... at least once a year, we're doing 5 to 10 year plans, especially in the biotech world. And so you're only going to get a commercial supply chain person to put all that demand together, you know, clinical, commercial, do the risk analysis. You know, we know not everything's going to make it to the end, and help the company understand, you know, what bets they're placing, how much it's going to cost them, you know, what's this capacity going to cost and what's the risk. And even if it's contract manufacturing, you're still locking in the capacity that you're going to have to pay for. So
I was going to say I have recent wounds from that, because I looked at our LRP and I asked the question, which everyone in the room was thinking but nobody asked, are those LRP numbers for Wall Street, for potential investors, or are they for the CMC group?
Yeah,
I don't think they liked the implication, and it was for Wall Street,
so in order to make that decision, which system are you using? So my question to each one of the panelists is, as far as ERP is concerned, who decides?
How much did Bill pay you for that question?
He's standing right next to him.
Well, the CFO decides.
No. So the commercial team has just implemented an ERP, and the clinical team thinks it's bull, in Mike's language. So does it not create more discrepancies? And how would each one of you tackle it in terms of the system alignment?
What was the question around one versus two ERP?
Not really, yes, to some extent, but who decides, right? If it's one organization, you know, there is a chance that the one leader, in my previous case, Matt, made a decision. And if it's two separate organizations, one organization could go for one ERP and the other chooses not to go for it. Does that not create issues? So what's each one of your perspective on systems? And how do we tackle systems with the same question of one?
I mean, generally, I would look at what the business requirements are for clinical side versus commercial to make the call and see how we're going to best fulfill those requirements, not get into a debate of one system or two, but to understand what the requirements are, how they and if they can be fulfilled. And based off that, if there is a system out there that can fulfill all the requirements, then I think that helps drive the decision. It's not an emotional decision. It's based on the business requirements.
We have a company where we are all clinical, and we have an ERP that we use, which is, I would say, like a third tier ERP. And we're focused on being very financially disciplined until we can bring revenue in. So we've been told by management, figure out how to make the current ERP work. And then as you get more complicated as an organization, right? So one country, one SKU, figure out how to make it work for that. When you get into 10 countries and 10 SKUs, that's going to be more complicated. You're dealing with multiple currencies, blah, 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 you know, everything. Then there's a different case there. But there, it's about, you know, how much can we take what's in our bank account and make it last as long as possible until money starts coming in. And then you have more flexibility when you have revenue.
I think the hook is coming. I can see that. But
one observation.
Bill didn't ask a question.
Bill promised me that there would be a fist fight. Come on out. Honestly, I've witnessed a lot of debates. This one had only winners. And I want to give you a very serious reflection. Clinical trials, by their nature, represent a science, a scientific pursuit. It has its own culture, and I'm not going to get into that one. Commercial, on the other hand, is business. But what I heard you say, or what I extracted from what you said, I visualize those companies that have a commercial product. They should utilize their common functions of IT and strategic sourcing and logistics and have them help the clinical trials folks. If I'm head of strategic sourcing for Genentech, I should have a small group of people helping clinical and a large group of people helping commercial. So far, okay?
Mm-hmm. Makes
sense. If I'm an organization that doesn't even have an FDA product approved, let's say, right? There's so many of you here, thank God. Then actually the challenge I heard, and it came from you, Mike. If those people had some of these disciplines, if they understood the nuances of logistics, if they understood the nuances of planning, as opposed to just putting two molecules together, that is the kind of organization you want.
Yeah. If I have people that are capable of doing, capable of vaulting from clinical to commercial, and they're capable of taking their skills and applying it, why not?
Yes, sir. So, and that's what I heard. I just want to play back to you. So thank you for all being winners.
Yeah. you already did exactly what I was going to ask you to do. I really would like you to acknowledge how much work went into these folks and how much effort they put into coming up with the questions. And really, it's been a pleasure to work with all of you.
Thank you.